Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky. And I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Tuesday, April 18th. This happens to be my birthday. I turn 51 years old today. Hope you'll remember us in your prayer and pray that God give us a special day today. This is also the first day of camp meeting here in Lindsborg, Kansas, in the Mid-Kansas Camp Meeting. We'll be airing that live tonight at 7 o'clock on WSOF WAJJ Radio. Hope you will remember that. Pray for us here as camp meeting goes Tuesday through Thursday. As we said, we'll be airing those services live on the PM, the 7 p.m. services, and so want to make that special announcement known. Well, I'm not here in the state of Kentucky at this time. Some of you know already that my wife and I usually make a trip out to Kansas for their annual camp meeting and to spend a week with my mom and dad. So that is this week, and then we're going to be headed back on Friday. That's the 21st that we'll be headed back, and I got these broadcasts lined up. Well, we're going to go ahead and move right along into prayer time. It is time to call on the Lord in prayer. So would you pray with us at this time? Our Heavenly Father, it is with a grateful heart that we come to the throne of grace. Father, I want to thank you for your goodness, grace, and mercy in our life. You've been so good, and we have so much to thank you for. Father, I want to thank you for the privilege to be able to be in Kansas and spend some time with my parents and be used of the Lord at the same time. I pray you'd bless and use the camp meeting this week. Have your way in that. Thank you for Joshua being able to be with us this year and being able to help with the radio work. And Lord, what a blessing that it is. And I thank you and I praise you. But Lord, I thank you also that while we're here, the work of God's still going on at Island Ford Baptist Church. I thank you, Lord, for the good folks there. I pray be with Brother Hall and Mrs. Hall. Strengthen and bless and help them. I do pray, dear Lord, that you be with Brother Bell and Mrs. Bell, and you'll bless and use them and use Brother Bell as he preaches on Wednesday night. And have your way there, dear Lord. Bless our good people. Help them, Lord, to be faithful and to be used of the Lord in these days. Lord, I do pray that you meet the special needs. We've got some special requests that we're bringing before you, unspoken needs that you know about. And I pray, Father, you would intervene, that you would work, that you would make bare your mighty arm and show yourself strong, and that you'd get the glory. Lord, I pray now that you'll help us. Lord, I do pray bless these broadcasts. Now, as I'm going to be gone, Father, I pray that you'd bless this week as we preach on her spirit came unto her again, and help, Lord, that these things would be a blessing. Lord, have your way and move among us and get the glory and the honor. Lord, I do pray also keep us safe as we travel, and you just have your way. Bless those with birthdays this week and have your way with them as well. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Appreciate you praying with us. We're going to get ready to play a good song here on the broadcast today. Hope this will be a blessing to you. Since today is my 51st birthday, I guess I can say I have been young, now I'm old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Amen. And having said that, just a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, I don't think I'm old yet. But I will have to say he's still been a good God to me. When I look back down over it all, he's sure been a good God to me. That's this song we're playing here by the Shepherd family. I hope this will be a blessing to you. All right, hope you enjoyed that good song there, and we're going to get ready to move right into the message. This week, we're preaching from the Scripture found in Luke chapter number 8 and beginning in verse number 40. And right before we go to the Scripture, we're going to have the introduction here as we go into the message recorded live at the Island Ford Baptist Church. Amen. All right, Luke chapter number 8, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 40. And read down through the chapter here to the end of the chapter. Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him.
and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. That sounds familiar too, don't it? Spent all of her money at the doctor's office. Didn't get any better. Amen. Verse 44. Came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee. And sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me. For I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake, there came or cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother and the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat, and her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. I'm really not preaching about prayer primarily because the text that I used is not one of people praying, and yet you can see praying. But I'm preaching on these two thoughts, touching Jesus and being touched by Jesus. There's two ladies in this story. One touched him, and the other one, she couldn't even touch him. But he came to her and touched her. Amen. And both of them had their needs met by that touch. Amen. And in prayer, I believe prayer is touching Jesus. Amen. And answer to prayer is being touched. Amen. By Jesus. And I thank God that is right. Look at verse number 51. And I'm going to use this thought of this twofold part of this story. The woman with the issue of blood and the little girl that lay dead. I'm going to deal primarily with Jairus and show you some things there. But verse number 51, the Bible said, "And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden." So there were six people in there besides the Lord Jesus. He made the seventh. Amen. You've got Peter, James, and John, the three disciples, the father, the mother, and the little maiden that lay dead are the six, and then the Lord made the seventh, and then he puts, and somebody said, "Well, that's all you need then. Seven's the perfect number, and that's why he was able to heal them." But the fact came, he put those other five out because they didn't believe. They laughed. They mocked. They scorned, and he put them out, and so there's only the dead and the Lord. Amen. And that's really all you need. You got somebody with a need and a Savior that can meet that need. Amen. And that's all we need. Thank God. And so when we're praying for our loved ones, it's not that it's dependent on us, but I believe he touches them many times in answer to us touching him. Amen. And we see that here in the text in verse number 54. "And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, 'Maid, arise.' And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat." Amen. Amen. But we visit this home in Capernaum. It is the home of Jairus. We find a father and a mother that are weeping over the body of a 12-year-old daughter that lays dying. She is a delicate little flower, and her life is breathing its last breath, and she's laying there dying. Amen. Matter of fact, when we get to the house, she's already dead. But in a moment, the Lord changed all of that. Amen. He not only rescued that little girl, he rescued that mama, he rescued that daddy. Amen. He made a change in that whole household because the Lord showed up and helped her in that time. Amen. In their darkness, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, flooded their world with light. Amen. had been the most sorrowful, tragic moment in the lives of these individuals suddenly turned into their greatest day of joy. But I want to tell you, after this was all done, she was not the apple of their eye. There was somebody else that became the apple of their eye, and that is the Savior that rescued their little girl. Amen. And I'll tell you, I believe it's right that when we get to the point that we get our eyes off people and get our eyes on Him, we're in a good place to get some help from the Lord. Amen. When we don't want them saved just because they're our loved one, but we want them saved because He loves them and because He bled and died to seek and to save that which is lost, and because it'll bring Him glory to save a sinner, then's when we might see God do something for our loved one. I hope we can catch a glimpse of this great Savior. Hope we can catch a glimpse of the power of our God. Amen. This is the Savior and the God that we carry our petitions to. Amen. Now I want you to notice three things about this real quickly. Notice the man in desperation. This was a desperate man in Capernaum. Now, how did he get to Jesus? There is a crowd thronging him. There's a multitude all around him. I imagine Jairus was not going to take no for an answer. I imagine Jairus was moving people out of his way. Some of them may have saw him and recognized him and knew that he was a great man and stepped aside to give him room. Some of them may have heard that his daughter was sick, that his daughter was even at the point of death, and they may have stepped aside. But if they failed to step aside, I imagine Jairus moved them aside and he made his way to the Savior. But when he got to the Savior, he didn't have words that he could pour out, but yet he fell at his feet, is what the Bible said. Amen. Amen. He fell at his feet. He fell at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. But verse 42 tells us why he was so desperate. He had only one daughter. He had one only daughter. About 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. So I see in this case this desperate man that comes running to Jesus. By the way, desperation motivates people like nothing else will. And he might have been ashamed to have approached the Lord if it had not been such a desperate situation. And so he moved in his desperation and he came to where Jesus was. Amen. I can imagine that as he gets there, this little girl's on his mind. This situation's on his mind. I mentioned to you that she probably had been the apple of his eye. One day she became ill, but this illness was different from other illnesses. Rather than getting better, she only got worse. Amen. And as she got worse, her illness became so severe that her mother and her father came to the understanding that she was going to die if something wasn't done to change the situation. Amen. And by the way, when we get in trouble, that's when we get desperate, is when we'll move to Him. Amen. I'll say more about that as I go on. This little girl is the apple of His eye. She's sick. She's in bad shape. And so he's desperate. And he knows he must do something. He's heard about Jesus. He's heard what Jesus could do. The Bible says that this ruler of the synagogue made his way through the crowd to find the Lord Jesus. I'll say this. Sometimes you got to go through a bunch of junk to get to Him. Amen. Sometimes it's problems with others. Sometimes it's just junk in our own mind. Have you probably experienced this, that sometimes when you bow to pray, the devil brings up every kind of thought in your mind? I personally believe that when the sons of God appeared before God all through the Bible, I believe that's a picture of prayer. And I believe that when the sons of God are talking to God and God's talking to them, the devil seems to show up and he's there to hinder and he's there to hurt. Amen. But I'm glad that God can help us get through. But I'll tell you what will help us is when we get desperate. We'll push the devil aside if we have to. Amen. I've said this before. I do believe it so. I believe you can go to church, and if the church was full of hypocrites, I believe you could say, slide over, hypocrite, I'm going to worship Jesus, and you could meet with God in a house full of hypocrites. Amen. Amen. I remember an old preacher back home. He's dead and gone now, but he was witnessing on a job. He invited a fellow to church. He said, why don't you come go to church Sunday where he's pastoring? That fellow said, I would preach it, but I heard you had a house full of hypocrites. The preacher said, it ain't true. It ain't full. There's room for you. Said, as he talked to him, that fellow said, oh, preacher, I would come to your church, but said, I always sit in the back. I don't like to look up through there and see all them hypocrites sitting up in front of me. Brother Wishon told him, he said, I'll tell you what to do. He said, you come sit on the front, let all them hypocrites look at you. Amen. I do believe if you're determined, you can get to God in spite of a crowd of others. Amen. In spite of all the mess, you can push it aside. I believe that. And you can get to God. This man did not care what others thought. He did not care what others said. He did not care what others might do. His daughter's illness, his desperate situation drove him to desperate acts. And he fell at the Lord Jesus' feet. Amen. The only hope Jairus had was the Lord Jesus. Nobody else to turn to. Nowhere else to go. He had to go to Jesus. And I believe reaching that point of desperation helps us understand many times how passive we've been in the past towards Jesus. When you ever get to that place that you recognize, I've got to have Him, then we recognize all those other times when we need Him, but we didn't recognize how much we need Him. We don't think about how much we need God or how much our loved ones need God. But you let something drastic happen and we get in a desperate case and we'll realize how passive we've been. This man finally made his way to Jesus and in desperation he called on the Lord. And by the way, we ought to thank God for causing us to come face to face with our own passivity. Amen. We ought to thank God for causing us to come face to face with our own slothfulness and our own spiritual condition of not being red hot on fire for God. Amen. I believe that's right. Well, Jairus fell on his knees at the feet of Jesus. He didn't care what the people thought. He knew he needed Christ. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 42 that the people thronged him. You see that last phrase? But as he went, the people thronged him. Now, it looks to me like this man fell at his feet and he said, I want you to go. You don't hear the Lord say, all right, I'll go. You can read all this. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. None of them, they all tell the story. None of them say that the Lord said he would go, but he started that way. Amen. Sometimes the Lord may be headed towards our loved ones, and we don't know it. He hadn't told us, but he may already be headed. I'll tell you what we'll do. Just stay at his feet. Amen. And hang on to him and pray that he gets them and gets them good. Amen. But as he started, the Bible said the people thronged him. That word throng literally means to choke. That's what it means. It's not that they grabbed him by the throat, but they started choking the path. They started clogging the way, and he was not able to go. Amen. And I imagine Jairus there. He's come all this way. He's made this big scene, already made a fool of himself in his own eyes. And he's made this scene, and he's got to the Lord, and they're headed that way, but before they can get there, you've got a disturbance that the crowd have gathered. Now, why is the crowd there? Because they're needy people too. Amen. This crowd's full of people that's got physical problems. This crowd's full of people that's got family problems. Amen. Amen. This crowd's full of people that's got problems and they need the Lord. And they're getting in His way when He needs the Lord. Amen. And so they're choking Him. They're blocking off the way. Amen. Now, imagine how this man must have felt when he got to that place. But it doesn't get better. It actually gets worse as we come along here. And by the way, let me say this. That idea about the throng, they thronged him, that has the idea of putting pressure on him. I imagine this dad, when the people thronged him, it put some pressure on him. Not just outward pressure, pressure on his heart as he's thinking about his daughter's situation, thinking about his own frustration, thinking about her great need. But I'm going to tell you again, it is a blessing of God to put pressure on us sometimes, amen, to let us recognize not only our own need, but there's others around us that have needs, amen. There's others all around us that have need, and we may be bumping elbows with them. We may be rubbing shoulders with them. They're all around us, but they have needs too. And many times we haven't even noticed.
Well, the music lets us know we've come to the end of another broadcast day. For the Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying thank you for listening. And I hope that you are paying attention to what we're preaching about there. I hope that we'll recognize that sometimes God wants to awaken us and alert us to the needs of others. All we're doing is seeing our own needs many times. And maybe we're praying, and that's good that we are. But we've got a little bit of tunnel vision in our prayers. We're only praying about one little area when God may want us to be noticing some other areas as well. So I hope this was a blessing to you. And we'll be back tomorrow with another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying God bless you. We'll see you then.